This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
You're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark. For many of us, the Summer Olympics every 4 years is an event not to be missed. For athletes, it is something to strive for. To stand on a medal podium at the Olympics can represent the pinnacle of one's sporting career. But this time, the Tokyo Olympics has been beset by controversy, as some called for its cancellation in light of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Now, 1 year after it was supposed to be held, the Games kick off today for a period of 2 weeks. It's been a long road for Malaysian athletes who had to overcome many obstacles in order to qualify for this year's Games. To talk about that, this morning I'm speaking with Olympics Council of Malaysia President Tan Sri Dato' Sri Mohamed Norza Zakaria. Tan Sri, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Lynn, for inviting me to this interview.
I'm wondering about the preparation that the Malaysian squad has undertaken in order to attend the Games. Talk us through that, perhaps. It's been quite the unprecedented year. They've been training within isolated bubbles. How are they doing?
As you have pointed out just now, we are facing once in 100 years pandemic. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So it is very much in uncharted water. And not to mention, because of this pandemic, Olympic has been postponed by another year. Mm-hmm. The preparation of the athletes has been very difficult because there are a lot of uncertainties in terms of the lockdown, the MCO that was implemented. Because of that, we have to create a bubble environment for the athletes. This has created sort of mental and physical stress. Nevertheless, the whole painful and difficult journey has ended with their qualification to the Olympics. I wish to congratulate all these 30 athletes who has made it to Tokyo 2020. It is not easy for them. Not only that, because of the pandemic, a lot of tournaments, especially the qualifying tournaments, has been cancelled, and therefore they have to go through a lot of hardship during this period.
I'm wondering whether the uncertainties of this past year, as well as the isolation that they've had to undergo as part of their training, whether or not that has taken a toll on the mental health of these athletes, and if so, what the Olympics Council of Malaysia is doing to mitigate those effects.
The preparation of athletes, they are under their respective national sports association. Most of them are also under the National Sports Council, MSN, or NSC program. Last time, when we talk about athletes, we talk about their physical conditioning most of the time. But because of this pandemic, we also need to look at their mental health. We need to create an atmosphere that will provide this balance in their training. Within that bubble, we actually have the respective NSAs and also MSN has putting up a lot of effort in ensuring that they have the proper food, proper support by supporting staff. They also have proper break in terms of giving them time to have some entertainments. Mm. A lot of trial and error because, as we said earlier, this is really uncharted waters, unprecedented. There are athletes that, because of these pandemics, they missed their qualification tournaments because of cancellation. They did not make it. But my advice to those athletes who basically have not make it to Tokyo, my wish is that they still work hard. They can realize their dream in Paris 2024.
And let's come to talk about the Olympics themselves, right? The Tokyo 2020 Olympics, which are now being held in 2021. There's been a lot of controversy surrounding whether or not the Games should continue because of the ongoing global pandemic. Against this backdrop of COVID-19 cases, which are still prevalent within societies, how are we keeping our athletes safe? I mean, the Olympics are just the most immediate concern here, right? There are other international sporting events that the OCM also oversees, the Commonwealth, the SEA Games. So what kind of safety measures have been put in place? How successful have they been?
We definitely have to ensure that the logistic, the so-called bubble situation, not only be maintained before departure, but also during that flight to Tokyo. As you know, the organizer will only allow the athletes to come into Tokyo within that 5 days before their event. And therefore, we will not be able to implement a charter concept flights. So we have to go through that commercial flights. However, the requirement is that we need to test all athletes and officials 3 days prior to departure. And also when they reach in Tokyo, our athletes basically have to undergo testing basically every day. In addition to that, there is also a playbook that was created by both IOC and the organizing committee that we need to adhere with. We have been organizing Olympic after Olympic, but this one is a different Olympic. We have to go through all the processes. Mm. But the majority of athletes have already arrived in Japan, except cycling and also athletics. These athletes will be going on the 25th, but the rest, the majority of athletes have already been safely arrived in the Games Village. That's is very positive news indeed.
And yet, Tan Sri, this is no guarantee that there will not be COVID cases. In fact, we've had news that two South African footballers have become the first competitors to test positive for the coronavirus in the athletes' village in Tokyo. Another six athletes and two members of staff are self-isolating after being identified as close contacts of an individual who tested positive after they arrived in Tokyo on the 16th of July. Taking that into consideration, I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one to wonder why competes in the games at all?
Okay, I know that's basically the concern of everyone. But again, when you talk about more than 11,000 athletes in one place, I mean, that's excluding officials, I'll presume will be maybe half of that 11,000. Definitely, you cannot run away from the fact that there'll be instances where people will be infected with COVID. However, you know, all our athletes have basically embraced that jaga diri process since the day they were in the bubble concept. And I think at the moment, because we are under the category 2 classification, all our athletes, when they reach in Tokyo for the next 3 days, they actually have to physically distancing them from other people. So I think that's a blessing in disguise. They will be training and eating and doing a lot of activities among themselves. I do hope that with this sudden spike in cases of athletes and officials in the Game Village, they have to really take care of themselves. Ensure that this very much, we call it the last mile or the hours before their event, they have to make sure that they really take the necessary precautionary measures to ensure that they will not be infected with COVID.
And from a sponsorship standpoint, Tan Sri, how difficult has it been to get funding for international competitions during this COVID-19 pandemic?
Sports in Malaysia, especially when we talk about the elite level, there is a program called Road to Tokyo. This program is fully funded by the government. As far as the elite athletes, they are actually cushioned by this government undertaking. That's a good news for us. Nevertheless, when we talk about other level in terms of sports at the grassroots, with this pandemic sponsorship, it is hard to come because I think everyone is suffering. And sports, as I said earlier, a lot of it comes from government initiative. Mm. I think after this, we definitely need to entice more private companies' involvement into sports, so that there are more people from the private sector that comes in and assists in terms of the development of sports in this country.
I'm speaking with Olympics Council of Malaysia President Tan Sri Dato' Sri Mohamed Norizal Zakaria. Up next, a look into what else we can do in order to encourage participation in sports at the grassroots level. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Tan Sri Dato' Sri Mohamed Norizal Zakaria, Olympics Council of Malaysia President, in conjunction with the opening ceremony of the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games this evening. Now, Tan Sri, enticing private companies to invest or to sponsor sports is one thing, but I guess it's also how do we attract the players and the talent, right? Looking at our sporting scene over the years, one wonders where is the next Muspin Sirek going to come from, or where is the next Nicole David going to come from? Are we doing enough to encourage at the grassroots level sporting development?
As a sports administrator, my belief is that we must always look at the development of sports from the institutional approach. Because, you know, I see sometimes we are very much individual-centric rather than institutional-centric. Why did I say that? You know, for example, I am also the president of Badminton Malaysia. Yeah, when I took over as the president of Badminton Malaysia, I realized that for so many years, badminton, association has been hiding so-called behind one person called Dato' Wira Lee Chong Wei. Yeah? For many years, for 10 years, he actually, he becomes a Super Series king. When I took over, it's always about who is next to Chong Wei. When we talk about sports, it is not like last time where we always say, for instance, we are a badminton powerhouse. But when it becomes the Olympic sports where there are 5 gold medals at stake, a lot of countries that were not in badminton, for instance, has started to invest and develop their players. Sports is about governance, about sponsorship and marketing, about finance, about sports science, latest, embracing the latest technology. We should look sports always from the institutional point of view, right from the how do you come up with blueprint to establish the right formula at the grassroots level up until the elite level. Because if you just hope that one in 5 years or one in 10 years, there'll be one legend or one exceptional players or athlete, then you are not like building a system which is built to last, which will continue producing world-class athlete to ensure that you be maintained as a powerhouse for many, many years to come, not relying on only one or two individuals. We need also to establish the right safety net. The financial model needs to be addressed. When you talk about, Lin, like you said, how do you entice people into sports? Last year, I have promoted the idea of setting up a pension scheme for our athletes so that when kids or parents are wanting to choose what are the kind of career that they want for their kids, if there is a scheme or there's a safety net for them in the future, they will definitely choose sports. But at the moment, parents will be putting education as the priority or the main priority. And for kids who wanted to go into sport, it's highly likely that when they see, for instance, during this pandemic, there are athletes who are selling their medals, their boots, you know, that do odd jobs just to maintain their standard of living, there is no more motivation or encouragement for a lot of people to be part of this sports fraternity.
So when can we expect to see that kind of a pensions scheme or a post-sporting career support system put in place, Tan Sri?
Yeah, I am pushing it very hard. I've talked to the minister, the Honourable Dato' Sri Rizal Marikan. I've spoken to Dato' Sri Tunku Zafro. For the government to look into this, to ensure that, you know, we are not talking about pension scheme, maybe exactly like what the government servants getting. But we need to find an EPF-like scheme or an insurance scheme to ensure that after the athletes have given their all to the country, they know that they actually will be taken care through this scheme. So we are still fighting for it.
And also looking forward, in budget 2021, the government allocated 55 million ringgit to continue existing sporting development programs and another 103 million for facility maintenance and upgrades. So, you know, it's July now. There are not that many months left before budget 2022 will be announced. What is it that you, as the OCM, what is it that you would like to see out of budget 2022?
So we do want for sure, once the government to look at, because we, for one, we should not underestimate the role of sports in our country. Sports, it's the way that we can easily unite all Malaysians. But in terms of the structure, in terms of the funding, you can see that we are not actually making sports as one big component in the development of our country. So we need to address the financial part, for instance, giving good incentive for private sector to come in, to invest in sports, to create more clubs. You look at Japan, you look at Indonesia, you look at other developed countries, there's a mushrooming of clubs, activities that's sponsored by big private organizations. The days of relying purely from the government funding are actually over. We need to expand in terms of the financial capability of that sports industry so that the whole value chain are addressed. You see now at the moment when the pandemic came, there are a lot of sports operators slipping into oblivion, you know, mm-hmm. because of there's no database keeping, details about sports infrastructure, sports operators. Sometimes we just say sports is run by ex-athlete. It's time to bring in professionals. It's time to bring in people to assist, to bring sports to a bigger level or to highest level so that we can use sports to bring people together and to create a sporting nation.
And where does the National Sports Vision 2030 fit into this? I mean, what do we know about it at this point?
Yeah, I think if blueprints stays as a blueprint without conviction to ensure that those milestones that are put into that so-called paper are not properly executed, then we will basically go back to the same level where we are. We need to address this at the highest level in a manner where if, for instance, the administrator come and go, but the blueprint stays on track for it to be implemented. I think there are a lot more to be done. We need a lot more people to get involved so that both the contribution of the government and the private sector will bring that multiplying effect to our sports industry.
All right. And so now, Tan Sri, as a last question that I'd like to pose to you, will Malaysia see our first Olympic gold this year?
That's a very good question. I think every Malaysian, all these 32 million Malaysian, will want for the athletes to bring back the gold medal, the elusive gold medal. Since independent, we have not got that gold medal. Nevertheless, I also want everyone to manage their expectation. The athletes have gone through a very painful and difficult period. We will all be rooting for the athletes who are competing in Tokyo. Let's pray that the athletes will do their best, bring good news back home. Because pandemic has brought misery to a lot of Malaysians, I definitely wish that through sports and this Olympic, it can bring that feel-good factor back home so that all of us will be distracted from this very difficult period that we are facing. As a president of Olympic Council, I wish them very best in their endeavor in Tokyo 2020.
As do we, Tan Sri. So all the best of luck, of course, to those Malaysian athletes who will be competing in this year's Games. And thank you very much to you, Tan Sri, for joining us on the show today.
Thank you, Lin.
I've been speaking with Olympics Council of Malaysia President Tan Sri Dato' Sri Mohamed Norza Zakaria. This has been The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lin Mark, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.